Welcome to another episode of Living an Ultralife. My name is Ginny, and it's the first day of 2026 Swami Shuffle. The race started at 8 o'clock this morning, February 22nd, with a balmy real feel of 29 degrees, raining sideways. It was very lovely. I'm planning to be at the Currituck Lighthouse in Kerala at 1:15 p.m. and the weather indicates that the real feel will be 21 degrees and windy. The rain will have just ended, but they won't get much of a reprieve because then it begins up again at 4. Originally, we had KOA campgrounds booked for this evening, which is down in Rodanthe. But in order to avoid a hypothermia incident, I have booked a Hilton Inn on Kerala. So now we have Sunday morning Swami Shuffle. My original goal was to drop him at the start line like I always do, take pictures, drive back home, sit with my little kitty cat, hoping to hold her on my lap for a couple hours before I took off at exactly 11 o'clock to get to the lighthouse at exactly 1:15, allowing for one bathroom stop at the Walmart. But I forgot that I would need to eat breakfast, and I forgot that I would need to heat up water to take to the husband and his running friends at the Kerala Lighthouse, and some soup, and maybe some hot chocolate, and maybe some hot coffee, or maybe some hot apple cider. And I didn't think about that I would need to pull all that together. So I just finished my breakfast. It's 9:15.
Welcome to Swami Recap from the Brain Dead One. Wow. I don't even know where to start with how tough this year's version of Swami Shuffle 200 was. Probably the toughest thing I have ever done in my entire life. So it started Sunday morning. Ginny and I got to the race site, Baja in Sandbridge, Baja Restaurant in Sandbridge. And we got there probably about 7:15-ish, somewhere in there. And it was lightly raining. And we're like, okay, so we're going to start in the rain poncho, no big deal. And everybody's gathering. We're getting handed our little air tag things that James and Josh had come up with to be able to track people, which Josh said really, really helped, because at least if people weren't reporting in, they knew where they were, sort of. And with what slammed into us at the very start, with pouring down rain and winds that were strong enough to knock us off our feet, that was probably a good idea, because, yeah, the beginning of this race was incredible. So the horn sounded. We all took off at 8 a.m. Justin Merrigan, Tyler Drapo, Lisa Georges, Michelle Gray, Leanne Jennings, Kosti Sifri, and some of the really, really, really great runners took off, and they were off like a shot and never saw them again. It seemed like it was like the elements didn't affect them. The rest of us, we were like, oh God, here we go. And so we made it the 2 miles out to the beach, and you make that little turn off the blue magic carpet at the Back Bay Visitors Center onto the beach, and all of a sudden the full force and fury of the wind hit us. The tide was all the way up, and we had a thin strip of sand to walk on unless you wanted to be in the dunes. And the rain got more intense, and it was colder than cold. I mean, it was just cold. Well, Peter Y had brought his running son, Danny Diaz, with him. And Peter, Danny, and I became a trio. We took off and did a little bit of running. It was so hard to run because the sand was uneven. It was just, for me, it was. I mean, I'm not one of the top athletes by any stretch of the imagination. But we just trudged on, and my theme was just soldier on. You know, God, whatever you throw out here, I'm gonna go through it. I'm not worried. I've got the strength and power of the creator of the universe behind me, and we're just gonna go. We're soaked before we even get close to the thinking about getting to the border. But you know, Peter, like I was out in front of Peter and Danny for most of the time, but Peter would catch up to me and we'd talk a little bit, we'd laugh. It was fun having the camaraderie. You know, in Swami Shuffle's past, I've mainly just been on my own, and then at the finish caught up with somebody and gone through the beach part of the finish with somebody. But I'm telling you, the camaraderie of knowing that there was somebody who was going to check on you and come up and encourage you. And Peter Y he's an incredible man. And I am so, so grateful for his presence during this race, because that made all the difference. But we made it to the border and Danny ducked through the gates. And, you know, Peter is agile enough. He could have, but he's like, I'll dance through the gates with you. You know, so we're timing our, it had to look extremely funny because we're sitting there waiting, because the tide's up past the gate. And so we're waiting. Okay, go. And so you burst through the gate and everything. And now we're in North Carolina. So now we're going to spend, you know, the majority of the rest of your time until we're on our way back in North Carolina. And we go on North Carolina 12, which this part of the beach is usually, you got some flat stuff and you can usually, you know, be at least not in the tire tracks. Oh, no, not Sunday. We were in the tire tracks, and at one point, in one stretch of the thing, the only way we could get by was to go up onto the top of the dune and trudge along the top of the dune, which is extremely soft sand that you're sinking into, and you're just thinking, wow, this is gonna trash me. And you're frozen because you're already soaked, the wind's blowing like nobody's business, but it's like, okay, if we can just get off the road, you know, or off the sand and get onto the road, we can get to the visitor center. And I knew that Ginny had a change of clothes for me there, and Peter and Danny both had a bag in the car. They knew they had a change of clothes, and we're like, if we can just get out of these wet clothes, get these wet shoes. We had all strategically taken an older pair of shoes for the beach to start, knowing that Ginny was going to be there, and we could change out everything and make it on. And our goal was to make it to mile 62, the Comfort Inn at Jeanette's Pier. And we are totally convinced we can. Shortly after setting out with our change of clothes onto the pavement now, we realized that we were frozen to death. And there was no thawing out. Thawing out wasn't going to happen. Right before the food line, we came on Art McDonald, who was having a really, really rough day. And we had to pick him up and take him with us for a mile or two, getting down to Food Lion. He needed to be lowered back down to the ground, so we got him back down the ground, said a quick prayer with him, and went out, set off to Food Lion to find his wife to say, hey, Art's really struggling. You know, you need to go back and check on him. And so she did that. We kept on going. Now, mind you, we're mile 27 into the race right now. And we're thinking, wow. So the next big goal is get to the BP and duck, because we knew at least we could, you know, get out of the weather and get some hot something inside of us. But we also knew that the BP was scheduled to close at 8 p.m.
As I drove home from my adventure, I got to see the most beautiful snow beginning at the Virginia border in the dark, coming straight towards me in the headlights. And it was reminiscent of the Millennium Falcon moving into hyperdrive. It was so beautiful and lovely. The flakes were big and glorious. And by the time I pulled into my spot at home last night, it had stopped.
Well, the BP closed early because of the weather, which, you know, I don't blame them. The weather was awful. By now, the winds are still blowing. The rain had turned to sort of a sleety, icy type of thing. And we were frozen, wet, and just demoralized. And we're still thinking we're going to go to Comfort Inn, but we were like, okay, rallying point, get to the Hilton Garden Inn.
Oops, booked the wrong Hilton.
And we'll make our decision from then. there was a couple that Peter had met at Blackbeard's 100 last year named Jim and Lois.
Other highlights of the adventure were meeting a couple of trail angels, Lois and Jim, who absolutely saved the day by tending to Mike and Dan and Peter as they entered the Corolla Lighthouse bathrooms to warm up, change clothes, and Lois and Peter took their clothes and got them all dry for them to be able to put back on this morning. Thank you so much to you wonderful trail angels.
And just the most amazing couple. They were checking in on us, and they were going to meet us at the Hilton Garden Inn. And Jim is a retired nurse, and I think Lois also works in the medical field somehow. I'm not quite sure. I'll probably get that story someday. But they were going to meet us at Hilton Garden Inn, and so I was out in front. We caught up with Don Knotts, and Peter collected Steve Brockman, who is also an amazing warrior, who had his brother-in-law Skip crewing him. And so Peter's got Steve Brockman and Danny in tow. I've got Don Knotts in tow until Don's leg just seized up on him. And he was like, man, just go on. I don't know what's going on. And so I left Don. Peter collected him. Peter is a collector of people and an incredible encourager. So he's shepherding people through the finish. And that's a great word, the shepherding. Peter is an incredible shepherd and one of my favorite humans that I've ever met. And he shepherded a ton of runners this race. And that's going to kind of go throughout this theme of the Swami Shuffle of what an incredible man Peter Y is. And if you haven't met him yet, I urge you all to get a chance to meet Peter Y. Peter the legend, the Energizer Bunny, the MVP of Swami Shuffle 200 2026, in my opinion. Where was I? Getting to the Hilton Garden Inn. All right. I was out in front. I get to the Hilton Garden Inn, get into the entrance, and Jim and Lois, I think the looks on their face was alarm. Like, maybe we have a medical emergency going on. For some reason, I don't even know how I did this. I stopped at BP because I was like, okay, I got to get food for tonight. So I got a cup of noodles, a bag of chips, and a big bottle of water. I don't remember getting all that, but I had a bag in my hand and I had it. I get in and immediately Jim and Lois are peeling off my rain poncho, getting me out of my pack, getting me out of my, I have this vest that I wear over the top of it that's got little blinky lights, and they're getting me out of that, and they're like, we got to get towels. Jim got towels, and they're wrapping towels around me, and somehow I ended up with a cup of hot water from the restaurant. See, I did not know there was a restaurant attached to it. There's a key fact in here. The restaurant stayed open a little bit late and fixed food for us runners that were struggling in. This was incredible. Well, Peter came in probably about 30 minutes after I was there, and he still got enough thoughts. And he's like, I got to get a room. We're just getting a room. Mike, we're staying here. We're not going to try and make it to the Comfort Inn, which was a good thing. We ordered food. I think I ordered grilled cheese sandwiches, and I don't know. That's what I ended up eating. So anyway, we get into the room, we strip off all of our wet clothes, and Jim and Lois take them off to their house to dry Peter's clothes, my clothes, Danny's clothes, and shoes. So they dried not just our clothes, but our shoes, and they said, we'll be back as soon as they're dry and bring them to you. So we got into the room about 10 p.m. We got to the hotel about 8:30, probably. So I got there 8:30, I think Peter got there around 9, maybe 9:15. And we got into the rooms at 10, and then Peter, the Energizer Bunny, is back downstairs to, you know, check with Jim and Lois, hand them all these wet, gross runner clothes and shoes. God, I can't even imagine what they smelled like. But got them to Jim and Lois, and then he brought food back up, and then he went back downstairs to do something. I don't know. The Energizer Bunny had more energy. And so I am wrapped in every cover I can imagine, towels, and my body's just shaking. And so he hands me my dinner, and I just remember trying to put the grilled cheese sandwich up to my face, and my hand just shaking, couldn't get it to my mouth, and somehow got food down me, somehow got warm again. They were taking showers. I was like, I don't want to touch water. It was like water scared me at that point. I was like, I don't want water to touch my body. I am tired of water touching my body. I am waterlogged at this point. There was so much rain, and by the end of it, snow, that I was like, I'm over it. Well, we decide, hey, let's not try and get like a midnight start, because, well, it was already midnight. Let's just get some sleep. We'll start out, 6:30. Peter was convinced that 6:30 was breakfast. So we'll have a nice hot breakfast and hit the road. So I get all my stuff ready in the morning. I think I woke up around 5 o'clock, got all my stuff ready. And now it's Monday morning and I'm downstairs for the breakfast at 6:30 and find out it doesn't open till 7. So I was like, Peter, I'm taking off. So I took off down North Carolina 12, Old Virginia Deer Trail Road, and I'm off. And now we're going to go all the way through Desolation Alley to the KOA in Rodanthe. It was only a 40-mile trek, but dang, was it cold and windy. No more rain today, except for a little bit, a kind of brief little rain shower when I was in Pialin. But I was thinking, I'm doing this all by myself. And I was by myself all the 15 miles from Hilton Garden Inn to just before Jeanette's Pier. I was by myself, and all of a sudden I saw people in the distance, and I was like, people, I need people. I didn't know who it was, but I came up on Dave Moore, Darren, and I'm forgetting his last name, Don Knotts, and Eric McGee, our favorite Canuck from Quebec, Canada, who, oh my gosh, he became a character. There's just all these characters in this play. So caught up with them, and and Mike Edwards was part of that group too. Mike Edwards is a legend, 5-time finisher of Swami Shuffle 200. Mucho respect to him. Wow, just an incredible gentleman. You guys all need to get around Mike Edwards as well, and I'll tell more about that later. I'm going long. This is going to be a long recap, so if you're listening to this podcast, just realize it's a long one. But we all stop at KFC, get a good meal in us, because we're going through Desolation Alley. And we all set out together. I'm walking with Mike Edwards a little bit, Darren a little bit, Dave Moore a little bit, and a little bit with Eric. But Eric fell way behind us because he was having shoe problems. But he's done so many of these races. I don't know how many 200s exactly he's done. I know it's well over 10, but he's done journey races everywhere under the sun, Europe, Canada, out west. He's a veteran of these things. He's amazing. But I'm spending time and just, we're encouraging each other. It was really, really cool. I've not done a Swami Shuffle with people before. I've always been kind of solo out there just punching it out myself. But we've never had weather like we did this year, because even though we didn't get wet, that wind was vicious. And when you're up on top of Bass Knight Bridge and the wind is blowing you over, and then the semi-trucks go by you and they blow you the other way, and you're going, crap, I don't want to fall off into the water because that looks really cold. Get through there, and I got to Pea Island about 4 p.m. So keep in mind, I have left the Hilton Garden Inn at 6:30, make it to the visitor center right at 4. Guys, that's only like 24, 25 miles, and it's taken me a long daggone time to get there. It's hard, and your body is tired, and my body wasn't fully recovered from mild hypothermia and moving waterlogged for however many hours, 12 and a half hours, I guess, the first day. You're not real rested, because I can't really say that I slept. I sweated more than I slept, because your body's fighting to re-regulate itself. And it was crazy. But I get to the visitor center, and the sweet lady there, she's like, you sit. I've got to fold my flag. I know I close at 4, but you just sit and have a seat, and I'm going to go fold my flag. And I watched this lady fold a flag about the slowest you could possibly fold the flag. And she was just so sweet. So I spent about 10 minutes in the visitor center, and then I set out. And my goal was to make it up and over Jug Handle Bridge before the sunset. Well, I got there just as the sun was setting, got up and thought I was over Jug Handle Bridge, but it just kept on going. And now I'm in the dark and it just kept on going. I hadn't. I got off of the bridge, went past the Liberty Station, and I'm like a half mile past the Liberty Station. I'm going, where in the hell is the damn KOA? I thought it was supposed to be right there. So in desperation, I finally dig my phone out with my extremely frozen fingers and somehow call my beautiful forever girlfriend, Jenny. And wow, what a trooper she is. She talked me to the KOA Rodanthe, steered me to the elevator, steered me up to the room, got me into the room, unlocked it. What an incredible sweetheart she is. And I walk into this room and to the surprise of my life, because I haven't really pulled my phone out much or read, many texts and everything. She had texted me all the pictures of the food and everything she'd left, but to see all the food that she'd left for us and the care she'd done, even getting Epsom salts to leave there for us, what a blessing that was. Just incredible blessing. So I had about an hour. I got into the hot Epsom salt bath and was getting out of the Epsom salt bath about the time Peter and Danny burst into the room. And so I was fed, I was bathed, I was relieved, but I had this weird niggling feeling that was kind of in the back of my leg, and this is going to play a huge part in the rest of the journey. I didn't really know what it was. My ankle was tight, and I thought it was like my Achilles. And so I carry calf sleeves with me on these things, mainly for recovery, because I don't like to run in calf sleeves because I feel like they restrict, movement too much. And I have got big old fat calves. Well, maybe there's muscle there, but I have big calves anyway. And so I was like, I didn't want to run in them, but they feel good to kind of, compress for recovery. So I had put both of them, where the bottom was around the kind of bottom of my foot and then going up my calf and everything, because I'm a 4 foot faller, which means that my Achilles get a lot of work throughout the day, and you did a lot of footsteps. So anyway, but I got to sleep, and evidently I passed out on the two of them. They got there about, I guess I got there probably around 7. They got there about 8:15, 8:30. I was gonzo, sound asleep by 9. We're going to get up early and we're going to make the assault to the turnaround and back. And, the plan is still, we're going to finish on Thursday. So everything is, we're going to finish on Thursday. So we start out on Tuesday morning to make the turnaround about 6 o'clock. Must have been 5:30. I think it was 5:30 because it was still in the dark. So we start out in the dark and everything. Lots of funny stories that I'm going to save for a future podcast with all of my guys. But we're going down, and the tightness in my foot now transfers to my front left leg, and it feels like my ankle is locking up. And I'm like, it's this damn, I had put the calf sleeve on my calf. I'm like, it's this damn calf sleeve. So I was focused on getting to Avon, getting the muffins and scones, getting my sweatpants off, getting the calf sleeve off, and going, whew, all right, you got relief. It's all going to be okay. Well, we did. Mike Edwards and I got to muffins and scones, and it was closed for renovations. And Mike might have had the biggest hissy fit in the history of mankind, throwing up my hands, nearly busting out in tears, because I was looking forward to a hot breakfast sandwich, hot cup of coffee, getting the calf sleeve off, getting off my feet, and it's closed. This sweet little lady from Sicily comes riding up in her golf cart, and she's also going to Muffins and Scones because she lives there in Avon. Her husband had died years before. She's 82, I think, she said. 72. I just thought she was older. 72. And her daily routine is to get into her golf cart and go to Muffins and Scones for her latte and a breakfast sandwich. And then she comes back down towards her house, and there's another coffee shop that she stops at, and she has a mocha every day there, and then, goes home. And, nothing to do. She just kept on saying nothing to do in Avon. And she's very, very accented, Sicilian accent, not great English, but, nothing to do in Avon, nothing to do in Avon. And so she was such a sweetheart. But she led us in her golf cart down to the next coffee shop. I get the calf sleeve off. My leg is in agony at this point. So it's the first time I take my Tylenol and Advil, which usually kind of knocks out the swelling and the pain and everything. It didn't. And the Peter and Danny and Steve and Dave and Darren catch up to us, and we all trudge off. No, wait, Danny, Dave and Darren are way ahead of us. They had left at like 4 a.m., and so they're way ahead of us. So it was Steve, Peter, and Danny met up with us, and we get to the Food Lion, and I get some Asper Cream. That's all I'm focused on. I'm like, okay, we are now in Asper Cream territory. The leg is in agony, and I spread Asper Cream all over it. Peter gets the first of his grocery store sushi. That's going to be another story too, but just know that Peter became famous for eating grocery store sushi, not Sufi. That's a form of Islam. Sushi. Oh God. Anyway, we'd set out, and you know, now we've just got that last kind of, you know, 6 mile trek from, you know, the edge of Avon to the lighthouse. We make the turnaround. Mike Edwards and I get sub sandwiches to go from Angelo's. We set out. Peter still had more of his sushi from the grocery store, shared it with Danny. Steve had his fare from Skip, his crew, and everything. And we set out back to the KOA, which was pretty uneventful, except for we're all starting to feel pain. There's more limping going on. And I'm up with Dave, Darren, and Mike Edwards. And Darren boogies. He all of a sudden gets a burst of energy, and he's off. And you know, we don't see him the rest of the day. And I will tell you, this is where Dave, Mike Edwards, and I almost got killed. We are just about to Saville day use area. And drivers in North Carolina, I just have to send out a driving tip to drivers in North Carolina. When you see something with a flashing light on the side of the road coming towards you, it is not a target. This does not mean that you now must drive directly at the flashing lights and see if you can hit them and kill them. That is not the goal. We got swerved at more times than the road is very narrow. There's barely any shoulder. What you have to jump off into is very uneven and unstable. And when you're on 100-mile plus legs, it's even more unstable. When you're on shin-splinted legs, which all three of us had, it's even less unstable. So when you swerve at us, you're jerks. I'm just telling you. And you can leave that in the podcast, Jenny. So we almost got killed. We had a truck cross over the white line, get in the dirt. That's how far over he was. And almost hit us. How he missed us, the grace of God. Otherwise, there would be three dead Swami Shuffle runners. And so he missed us by the grace of God. Now we're getting into Salvo, and our goal is the Dollar General. Because I wanted to get, I don't know what I wanted to get. Oh, yeah, I needed to get Desitin, because this is another part of the story. So I wake up on Tuesday morning, and we all need Desitin now. And so I had a tube of Desitin. My tube was probably about 3/4 full. So I dressed myself with the Desitin and everything, and Peter and Danny didn't have Desitin. And I was like, well, yeah, just use mine. They hand me back my tube of Desitin empty. 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 Did I mention that Danny and Peter used all of my Desitin? So my goal was to get Desitin from the Dollar General, which I was successful in doing. So now I have a new tube of Desitin. And get to leave the Dollar General. Dave Moore's goal was to get cereal and milk, and he is going to eat as much cereal and milk as he can. I knew I had food at the KOA, so I'm good. Get to the KOA. I don't know what time it was, around 8? Yeah. Oh, no, it was later than that because Jenny was sound asleep and I called and woke her up. So it must have been around 9 that we got there.
after setting out at 6:30. It was a long, long 48 miles. But we got there, and I took a nice hot shower. Didn't feel like, you know, bathing, but I needed to take a shower with soap and get the smell off of me because, ugh, bleh, you know, 130 some mile skin with all that on it. Bleh. And so I got out of it knowing that I was changing into my clean clothes for the next day. And so Peter and Danny come in, and Peter's like, hey, Steve's crew, Skip, is going to pick up all of the stuff that we don't want to take, and we can lighten our packs because Steve's going to stick with us for the rest of the journey, and so we don't have to carry as much. Well, our room kind of became the okay, let's strategize. So we've got Dave Moore, Mike Edwards, Peter, Danny, and Steve and I, and we're like, okay, instead of, you know, trying to make it to the Hilton Garden Inn, we're now going to set up for a Friday finish, which, thank God, I, you know, this is the first time I've done this with the crew, but to be able to counsel together as men and just go, this is what we're going to do. We let Joel and Kosti know what we were doing. I texted Caitlin Reeser to let her know what we were doing. Joel, Kosti, and Caitlin were like, no, we're going to take off from here. We're going to make it to the Hampton Inn, and we're going to set ourselves up for a Thursday finish. We're like, great, no problem. So, you know, we knew they were gone. But Dave, Darren, Steve, Peter, Danny, and I were the sixtum. Is that a word? We're the six. Then we're gonna set out, and we're gonna make it to the Holiday Inn Express. So that was about a 28-29 mile day, and, you know, yes, you got to go through Desolation Alley, but, you know, there was Steve there to resupply us, and this became a significant happening because Steve met us. I don't even know how it happened. Dave fell way back because his cereal and milk didn't agree with him, and he didn't make it through Desolation Alley without having to stop every 5 minutes. Darren boogied way ahead of us. He got to the Holiday Inn first. Mike Edwards, Peter, Danny, Steve, and I all kind of stuck together, and Mike fell off. His legs really, really tightened off, so he fell off, and he was going to wait for Dave, who was really struggling with just his stomach revolted. He waited for Dave for an hour and a half at the Oregon Inlet Marina. But Peter, Danny, Steve, and I were fortunate because Skip met us with hot food right after the Oregon Inlet before we made the turn into Old Virginia Dare Trail Road. And that just sustained us to get through the Holiday Inn. Thank you, Skip. That was amazing. Get to the Holiday Inn Express. It was, I don't know, like 6 o'clock in the evening. Wasn't too bad. We hadn't set off. We didn't set off until 8. So, I mean, it was a relatively easy day, but I'm in agony, guys. I have shin splints are no stinking joke. And anytime I tried to go faster, even tried running, I was like, well, maybe if I run, oh, that was agony. So I'm just in a pretty safe, you know, walk. It's a walking journey for me from now on. I got there by myself first, got a room, got us checked in. Peter, Danny, and Steve came up shortly after. They brought the news that Dave was going to drop because he couldn't handle the stomach. Darren was already there, so I found Darren, let him know that, hey, we're going to make it to the Hampton Inn tomorrow, and then we're going to set out, you know, midnight from there. And Darren's like, cool, got it, on point, no problem. So he set out, texted with Joel. Joel really struggled. He stopped at the Hilton Garden Inn. His legs were killing him. Caitlin made a stop early, so she stopped had an Airbnb near the Hilton Garden Inn. She stopped, but she was going to go for a Thursday finish from there. And so, you know, we're all set up, and that's kind of how we're all set up, stacked up, and ready to go. And we set out from there and going to the Hampton Inn, and wouldn't you know it, we spent the entire day in the rain. Absolutely cold, wet, just sore. But we're, the camaraderie, when we got together, we shared stories about our lives. We shared stories about God. We talked about everything under the sun, and, we encouraged each other. Peter got both Steve and Danny through some of the darkest times that they've ever done, because the longest that Peter and Danny had ever moved before was 100 miles. So they're at PR distance every step of the way from now on. And Peter got them through it. Peter's an amazing man. I wish all of you guys would have the opportunity to get around Peter, because he's just an amazing, amazing man. I have such admiration for him, and he's my hero of the race. I did propose to Steve's crewman Skip at this time, because he's like bringing us stuff, and I'm like, at one point I said, would you marry me? He declined. He didn't, he said, I'm married, and Mike, by the way, you're married too. I heard about your wife, and I was like, yeah, I am, but I'd like to marry you because you're awesome. But he declined. So, little things like that happen. We're having fun. But the go from the Holiday Inn Express to the Hampton Inn on Thursday was absolutely miserable, because once again, guess what? Now you're soaking wet again. Got to the Hampton Inn with Peter and Danny about the same time. I got there with Peter. Danny was behind. He and Mike Edwards were making it up together. Steve got there about the same time. So Peter and I got all of our clothes off, got them down to the laundry, and dried them, because we're like, we're drying everything. So my shoes were unbelievably dry. So kudos to Ultra, the Olympus Matrix, really dry out well. And I had no problems. I had 0 foot issues. So thank you, Squirrels Nut Butter. The foot care is absolutely a dreamboat. I'll have to show you the empty tin of foot care that I have, because I started out with a full tin, and it is completely almost, I think there's one little slab on the side left. My feet were a charm. Zero problems, and this is the first time ever I've had zero blisters after a long run like this. Fantastic. So we're set up. We're there. We're early. We get there around 5 o'clock. I get a great talk with Jenny. We're going to set off at midnight. Now Joel is there. Eric is there. He had some problems, and so he stopped. Joel and Eric got there around 8. Caitlin also got there around 8, and I convinced everybody, let's all set off together at midnight. And everybody did. Also, by the way, Kim Drake pulleys in here. Kim Drake is a soldier. We have no idea where she is, because we're just not getting great reports in. And so we don't know. Usually you look at Facebook and you could tell, but the Facebook posts for some reason weren't showing up on any of our feeds. So we had no idea where anybody was. We knew Kim was out there. We just didn't know where she was. Darren and Kim both set off at 10 p.m. from Darren from the Hampton, Kim from probably someplace near there. She probably slept in a post office, because that's just what Kim does. She's a warrior. But they both set off around 10 p.m. And so I had been talking with Tyler Drapo, kept texting back and forth. And Tyler's like, hey, man, I'm gonna drive out to the end of the pavement and meet you guys there. And whatever you need, I'm going to set you guys up to hit the sand and fashion. Tyler Drapo had finished in 71 hours, second place finisher. And I mean, what an amazing man to be willing to sacrifice his comfort to come out and serve us the final, seven coming in. I guess you have seven. We thought there was going to be 10 of us, but we ended up with seven. But that's for another story. Tyler came out and he met us at the end of the pavement. Skip met us there with hot breakfast burritos, egg and cheese breakfast burritos. Man, I swallowed one. I ate like my beautiful forever girlfriend at that end of the pavement. That breakfast burrito went down, and I was going, where the hell did my breakfast burrito go? But I had another one, stuffed it in my pocket, drank a little bit of Pepsi, stuck my Pepsi thing in my pocket, and we hit the sand. Must have been right around 3:30 a.m. And so we know we've taken all the Back Bay stupid rules out of the question, and we hit the sand. And guys, we had beautiful weather. It was supposed to be strong winds at our face with occasional rain gust. And our gracious Heavenly Father blessed us through the power of the prayers of a lot of people with the most amazingly beautiful weather. Cold, yes, but beautiful weather on the beach. And not just that, but yes, we had to deal with the high tide at the beginning. So we're in and out of the tire tracks for probably the first, you know, 6 or 7 miles on the beach. But you know what? The tide went out and we're on flat, hard stuff for the rest of the journey. And I'm telling you what, it made all the difference in the world. I was with Steve, Peter, and Danny. We got to the border first. Peter identified the penguins sitting on the poles. We laughed a lot because Lord knows there ain't no penguins in Virginia and North Carolina, but he was convinced they were penguins. And then they flew off, and Danny's like, look, flying penguins. Guys, we laughed so much. That was part of the joy of this journey, is the amount of laughter we shared was just incredible. We get past and everything. We wait, because that was what the other thing we did. When you're with a group, we decided, hey, let's just wait. Joel, Eric, and Mike were behind us. Joel was really struggling. He was in a lot of pain, soldiered through it. What a hero. Joel Herman, you're amazing. Eric is collecting every shell on the beach because he's a Canuck, and they don't have, you know, shells on beaches in Canada, I guess. And he's not ever run on a beach before. So he's collecting every shell to take home to his wife and his kids and his grandkids. And dude was like a shell maven, man. I mean, he carried more shells to the finish line than anybody I've ever seen. But oh my gosh, we laughed a lot, but we waited for each other. We were like, we didn't know this, but we are now the final seven because one of the last people dropped. Kim and Darren are way out in front of us. We never saw them until the finish line. But I mean, it was just awesome. But now we're in Virginia, so we know we're near the end of the journey, and oh, the laughter and just the joy of being with these incredible warriors. Six warriors I got to share the end of this journey with was so, guys, I cannot describe to you the feeling of sharing the end of this journey with these six men that we've just been through absolute hell together. But we've done it together. We've accomplished something, 222, which turned into 224 miles this journey. But we've shared this together. And guys, it was just amazing. And so we had a plan for the finish line. I trudged out ahead because I knew where the blue magic carpet was. I convinced Eric that it had a button and that you just had to push the button and it would move. And he fell for it. Ha ha. So I get up to where the blue magic carpet is, steer everybody, and I look to my right, and there's Michelle Gray and Leanne Jennings, Rick Gray and Leanne's husband, who I've promptly forgotten his name. He has a name. I'm sorry. I forgot your name. And they're there, and what a burst of energy for the last 2 miles into the finish line to see them. They didn't walk with us, though. They jumped in their cars at the end of the blue magic carpet and drove off to the finish. Just had to throw that in there. But so we seven set out, and our whole goal, and Mike Edwards was the solid leader. He's like, guys, we are going to finish this thing together. So, you know, Joel's struggling the most. So we're all going at Joel's pace. And so we set out at Joel's pace, just sharing stories for the last 2 miles round the corner to go into the finish line. Steve very jokingly said, guys, we're not locking arms until we're almost to the finish line, because the way we're walking, we'll tumble over and fall flat on our faces, and that won't be a very good finish line finish. Did we cross the finish line together? It was incredible. I learned so much about the strength of men who are willing to do hard things together and willing to suffer together, but willing to encourage each other through the tough moments. Every time any one of us was suffering and ready to throw in the towel, there was somebody there to pick them up and
have just the right words at the right time to get them through the dark moment. It was, man, I'm almost near tears just thinking about just what an honor it was to run this race. And remember, we don't run this race for the kudos of running this race. We run this race for the veterans of the United States military who have been through hell and who come home, and we're still losing too many of them to suicide because of the things that they've seen and the camaraderie that they miss from being in the armed services. And you know what that's like when you've had the camaraderie of what we had as a tight little unit of seven that finished this race together and plowed through the last 33 miles together through the sand, but thank God with none of the weather that we'd had all week long. We had beautiful weather through the finish line of the race. It did not start raining until literally Jenny and I were in the car and driving off, and it started raining. And I was like, God, you are merciful. You are amazing. And he allowed me to finish with six of the most amazing men of that I've ever experienced in my life: Peter White, Danny Diaz, Eric McGee, Joel Herman, Steve Brockman, Mike Edwards. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for roping me in and allowing me to finish with you guys. What an absolute honor. And that's all I've got. And I'm going to pass this on to Jenny.
Thanks for listening. We really appreciate you guys. We'll see you next time on Living an Ultralife.